Good morning. Super excited to have you all with us this morning. Super excited to see you all. The online Sunday school class that I'm involved in, it gets out earlier than your all Sunday school class. And so when I got out of my Sunday school class, I had some time to come up here and do some things. And I was just overjoyed. Every room I walked past, I could hear a Sunday school class happening. I could hear people in there talking. I could hear conversations. That is a good and a right godly thing for these Sunday school classes to be packed and full of people. I talked to Brad this morning, the Sunday school class that he leads. They said they had good extra chairs for more room for people to sit. And so just a wonderful, exciting time for us to be here with one another. And again, here's just another big strong plug, is Sunday school class is super important. If you're not in a Sunday school class, man, please let me know. I would love to get you pointed in the right direction of Sunday school class. We've got some amazing Sunday school teachers here. I would love to get you connected to a Sunday school class, all right? Just super overjoyed this morning. All right, if you will, bust out your bulletins. Let's take a look at some things here. First things first, we've been praying for this. This opportunity has presented itself, and we've been super excited about this for many weeks now. Is today, this afternoon, from 3 to 6, we as DBC will be hosting a block party at Eagle Creek Resort. So we've been getting things ready to meet physical needs. We've been getting things ready to meet spiritual needs. And we're just praying expectantly to be able to go down there, share the love of Christ, and to plant seeds. One of the things, and I'd shared this on Wednesday night, is Melissa had been kind of packing up outfits and putting them in Ziploc bags, and I think they come 38 to a bag. Does that sound right? Whatever. Double check that. If that's wrong, forgive me. And she said, I believe that we're going to get a lot of clothes. And so she went and bought like four more big things of Ziploc bags. And I'm like, that's a lot of Ziploc bags, right? Turns out, filled every one of them. Right? And so if you want to take a look out there, there's these big boxes that Melissa bought, and a lot of them are overflowing with your donations for us to be able to go down there and hand out outfits to these young children. And so super pumped about that. Thank you all for partnering with us. If you're not able to go, that's okay. Some of you may have made brownies. We're taking brownies down there. And even if you weren't able to do that, please pray for us today. If you could specifically at about 3 o'clock, just take a little bit of time out of your day to say a prayer, to pray for those down there, pray for those people that are going to hear God's word, that are going to there and play some games and are going to find out that it's fun to gather as God's people. Pray for us. We would really appreciate that. Also, for those of you that are going to be serving at the Eagle Creek Block Party, Cindy left me a note this morning that there's going to be a lunch provided for you. So if you're serving at the Eagle Creek Block Party, there's not a lot of time in between. Gather out there. There's going to be a lunch. Are you making it, Cindy? Did you make it? It's going to be a good lunch. I can say that. If it's Cindy making it, it's going to be a good lunch, all right? So something else, this didn't make it in your bulletin, so if you got a pencil or whatever you write with, meeting the needs will be October 12th. That's our day to serve. That's 9 to 12. And then again, it's 6 to 8. So you can write that down. That didn't make the bulletin. It missed out on that. You see some other things here, opportunities to serve. There's a nursery sign-up sheet out there in the Hallelujah Hallway. This is another big one that we've got coming up, is that on October 17th, we're going to have a fellowship and welcome Raphael and Ruby. Come on, Steve, put the picture up. Where's it at? We're going to see this wonderful picture yet again, and we're going to be celebrating Raphael. And there it is, Raphael and Ruby holding that rock down. We're going to be celebrating them, so please come and join and gather with us as we do that. It's going to be a great thing. And then also, we just got this. This is the first time you've seen this in the bulletin, so you haven't missed anything. We were just kind of back and forth whether we were going to be able to get this done this year. But we are going to have a trunk and treat event. Trunk or treat, I said and. And that's October the 22nd. Trunk and treat. Do whatever you want to do, right? That's going to be the 22nd of October, right? It's going to be out here in the parking lot. And I would like to ask you this. I'm going to make an assumption here, and I could be completely wrong. My guess is most of your family households are two-car families, right? Most of us are probably had at least two vehicles. If you could bring both those vehicles, that'd be great. We want as many vehicles as we can. You can split the candy however you want between the two vehicles. We want as many vehicles in the parking lot as we can, because if only six of us show up with trunks open, that's going to be a really short trick and or treat, right? And then we're going to be like, well, what time's the bonfire, right? So we want as many cars as we can out there, trunk popped open, giving out candy. You can decorate them. You can do whatever you want, right? And the reason we're doing that, right, is we're doing this again to try to take back these holidays that the secular world has kind of taken, and also to share love and to fellowship with one another. And so after we do the trunk or treat, we're going to have a bonfire out there. People can make marshmallows, set some stuff on fire. We're going to have some fun times, right? All right? So please come and join with us out there. You know, nothing is more scary to me, right, as someone who has some facial hair, is a kid with a marshmallow on fire waving it at me like, hey, can you put this out? And I'm like, no, get that thing away from me. You're going to kill me, right? So we have fun. We're going to do that together. And then you'll see another mention there about Joyce Bond is stepping away from her cleaning activities. And so if anyone is interested in that, let me know. We'll figure that out as we go. And then last but not least of what I'm going to be talking about, then we've got some other people who want to come up and share some things, is that if you would like to partner alongside Cindy Wilhoit with the ARC Ministry, please find Cindy and talk to her. JT, you're up. There's the microphone. Please turn it on. Oh, yes, sorry. Yeah, Melissa told me that. There's also another sign-up sheet out there in the Hallelujah Hallway providing meals for Denise McCormick. And so if you feel led and if you would like to prepare those meals, please get your name on that list out there. That'd be great. All right, JT, you're up. You did it wrong, man.
Next Sunday, there it is.
There you go.
Yeah. If you go hungry, it's your own fault. Next Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, the deacons will have our monthly breakfast at 9 o'clock in the fellowship hall. I forgot to tell Crystal and Steve, put it in the bulletin. So anyway, we got breakfast for you that morning and come back at 6 o'clock at night for the meal for Raphael and them. So we'll have plenty of good eating next Sunday. But 9 o'clock in the fellowship hall, we'll have breakfast for you. Thanks.
Excellent. And a big thanks to the deacons for taking the opportunities to show us what a servant heart looks like. Very thankful for that. And it's always good food. Maybe not as good as Cindy's, but it's good food, right? It's good food. It's close. JT says close. All right, Peggy, if you'd like to come up. Peggy's going to share with us some shoebox ministry and then maybe some other things. You're going to try. Well, we'll get through it. You want to grab that mic right there? It'd make it easier for everyone if you will. Peggy. And so I am confident that the Shoebox Ministry is always a massive ministry that we do here at Dallasburg. Always great participation. I double-checked with Peggy because I'd said this last week, but then I double-checked it was okay. These shoeboxes are ready to go. You can take these shoeboxes, and then like a miracle, you'll come back, and there'll be shoeboxes again for people to take, right? And so they're ready to go. Be praying about that. Be thinking about how God wants you to be involved in this ministry. If you have any of those questions, I'm sure Peggy would be more than happy to have a one-on-one session with you to help you fill that stuff out if you have any questions about that, right? And then also, just to kind of echo what Peggy had said there, is that we had found out, you know, we're praying for our sister and Joyce Bond. Continue to pray for her. Be there with her and as you pray for her, and keep her on your thoughts and prayers, right? You know, one of the things that Scripture tells us is that when a brother or sister in Christ hurt, we hurt as well, right? We saw that represented this morning in her best friend, and so we pray for her. Right, we have a whole Wednesday night dedicated just to those things, to where we just pray for people and lift people up in prayer and have conversations about people. It's a good, right thing to do. If you would like to join us on Wednesday night, we would love to have you. Yes, absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. And so just in case some of you all didn't hear, a lot of you all donated to Peggy and Joyce's yard sale. The purpose of that yard sale was to raise money to pay for shipping for these shoeboxes. And because of your donations and their hard work, 232 boxes will be paid for and be shipped. Now, obviously, we want to do way more than 232, right? But we got a good start. 232 is a really good place to start from. That's the key. Melissa does the same thing. She just shops year-round for the Shoebox Ministry. You know it's coming. It's coming every October. Get ready for it. Hey, when crayons are cheap, pick up a box of crayons, right? When paper's cheap, pick up a box. Yeah, absolutely. So, just again, lots of opportunities here at Dallasburg Baptist Church to serve. If you were able to be with us in Sunday school this morning, and you've already heard this message as we discussed through 1 John, is that the way we show love to God is through obedience to His Word. The way we show love to others and put that into action is we show love to other people. And this is a classic example of how we show love to other people. This whole page right here is how we do that, right? So join with us. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to pray for us, and then Kirk and Crystal and I think Raphael are going to come and help prepare our hearts for worship, and we look forward to that. So let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for this morning. We thank you for the opportunities you give us. Lord, I thank you for all of the abilities that we have, that we've been given through you. We thank you for our Sunday school classes. We thank you for the Eagle Creek Block Party, Lord. We think about all the men and women that are serving you. Just what a positive encouragement that is to us. What it shows us what we discussed this morning in 1 John of putting our love into action. What a great testimony that is for everyone. Lord, we just pray that as we come here right now, we're able to set aside the distractions of the week, to focus on you, and to earnestly and honestly worship you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Good morning. Let's sing some songs together. You guys stand with me.
Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. Fly away, oh Lord, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. When the shadows of this life have gone, I'll fly away. Like a bird from prison bars has flown, I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away. To a land where joy shall never end, I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you, I worship you. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keep, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Sing that again. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keep, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, mending every heart. I worship you. I worship you, Waymaker. You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. 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 Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop. Last time. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. 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 Amen.
Psalm 67, 4 through 5. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the people with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the people...
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above the name. Jesus, the only one that could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is you. Open up my eyes and wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love for those around me. Worthy every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes and wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in love to those around me. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes and wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the work that you do here. God, thank you that you are a firm foundation for us. God, thank you that when things feel like they might be falling apart in our life, thank you that when we have questions and doubts and fears and anxieties and we don't know how to slow down, again, we don't know how to figure those things out, God, thank you that you're there. Thank you that you're waiting for us. Thank you that you're calling us to you all the time to come and to lay all of those things down. God, we love you so much. And as we sing, accept our hearts, open our hearts, break our hearts, whatever our hearts need, God. We offer these songs to you as an offering, as worship, as repentance, as our love for you.
Christ the shore and steady anchor in the fury of the storm. When the winds of doubt blow through me and my sails have all been torn,
in the suffering, in the sorrow, when my sinking hopes are few, I will hold fast to the anchor. It shall never be removed. Christ, the sure and steady anchor, while the tempest rages on, when temptation claims the battle and it seems the night has won. Deeper still then goes the anchor, though I justly stand accused, I will hold fast to the anchor, 'cause it will never be removed. Christ the sure and steady anchor, through the floods of unbelief, hopeless somehow, oh my soul, now lift your eyes to Calvary. This my ballast of assurance, see his love forever proved. I will hold fast to the anchor, it shall never be removed. Let's hear just your voices on this last part. Christ the sure and steady anchor, wide great horizon, clouds behind and life secure, for the storms that we endure. Christ, the shore of our salvation, ever faithful, ever true, we will hold fast to the anchor, it shall never be removed.
Psalm 67:6-7. The earth has yielded its increase. God our God shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him.
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful fall morning that you've allowed us to gather into. And thank you, Father, for the freedom we have to gather here. Pray that you be with Michael this morning as he brings his word, Father, and that we receive that word and apply it to our lives and be the witnesses you'd have us to be. Thank you, Father, for this time that we can give back to you a part of what you
are heading out. Very good. I wanted to make a comment on something, and I have backup with JT. I just wanted to say your all's clapping game has greatly improved. I know. Brad, I wasn't going to say that, but I would echo and agree with that. It couldn't have got a lot worse, but it has greatly improved, right? Kirk, was it good? Yeah. Kirk says 100% good, right? Right. Yeah, I was too. Thank you, Kirk. I felt the same way. Sometimes it doesn't come easy, right? Especially for a lot of us. A lot of you probably fall into my category. You couldn't play a tune if it had a handle. You couldn't carry a tune if it had a handle on it. But your clapping game has improved. So we will give glory to God for that. Right, so we gather here today. We're going to wrap up kind of the first section of Joshua. Joshua falls into the Old Testament. It's considered one of the history books. And so it's kind of sharing with us the history of what has happened, right? And so Joshua can be broken up into, there's as many different books that you want to read, there's as many different ways they break Joshua up. I like Joshua broken into four parts. And today we kind of wrap up the fourth part of Joshua. And the fourth part of Joshua, the fourth part is the preparation of entering the Holy Land and then what happens when they enter the Holy Land, right? And so we kind of wrap that up today. Now, this is also, in my opinion, if you have your books, you can be turning to Joshua 5, verses 13 through 15. That's where we'll be at today. This is, in my opinion, and 100% this is my opinion, your mileage may completely vary on this. We come across, in my opinion, the most interesting part of Joshua today, right? I'll make a case, and again, there's disagreement upon this amongst theologians, which I do not count myself as a theologian by any stretch of any measurement, but there's real debate today about what's going on in Joshua chapter 5, verse 13 through 15, and I'll share with you in my study what I believe is going on, and it is the majority of the opinion, but it's not the only opinion, right? I had to share with Miss Carolyn this morning, I had to break into the church library and get even more materials to read in preparation for today because it's interesting. It's interesting and we'll go from there. But let's start here. Let's read Joshua chapter 5, verse 13 through 15. God's word says this. When Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing before him with his drawn sword in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" And he said, "No, but I am the commander of the army of the Lord. Now I have come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" And the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take off your sandals and your feet from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the truth that we see throughout all of the books of your Bible, Lord. We thank you for the book of Joshua. We thank you for the mega theme that is presented to us, that we are victorious when we have faith and belief in you. We're thankful for the truth that it shares for us, that you do what you say you're going to do. We've sang that this morning in some of our preparation for today. We thank you for that truth. And Lord, we pray that everything we discuss today can be used to greater glorify you in our ministries. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, so we kind of, let's set the context here a little bit, is that the Jordan River, we've crossed the Jordan River. We set up the memorials, right? We had a circumcision party, right? We talked about how that made a lot of people uneasy. We've had that. We've celebrated the Passover, right? And then we celebrated the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And we've discussed that. If you're not sure what some of that stuff is, go back. We archive all of our old stuff online. Go back and look at that. And that's where it finds us today. So we're across the Jordan. We can see Jericho, right? Jericho's there. Massive city. Right, the Israelites are like, man, what are we going to do? They're very fortified. We're going to do this. We're ready to go. And Joshua has found himself at a time to where he has gone off to be alone by himself to pray. And so, first of all, to kind of give us a mindset of what Joshua has on his mind, Joshua has been handed the reins from Moses. By who? By God. Right, and so we see how Joshua is filling in now. He's walked into the footprints of Moses. Massive shoes to fill, right? Moses, a hero of the Bible, right? He's got to fill these big shoes, and he knows now that they're in the promised land, it's go time. We're going to war, right? We're going to first take on Jericho, and we'll work our way through. I have no idea, Lori, when we'll finish the book of Joshua, because it's a lot going on there. But we see that many battles are to come, and Joshua knows that. And Joshua knows what comes with war. Death, bloodshed. So his plate is very full, right? As he sends men off to battle, he knows some of those men won't be coming back. So now you have bereaved mothers, you have bereaved wives, you have bereaved children. This is heavy stuff, right? I've never been a commander of an army by any means and had to send anyone into war, but I can only imagine the pressure that is. I was reading some commentary, and it was talking about, it was Dwight Eisenhower had said, being a leader who has to send men and boys into war is a very lonely position. You feel very alone. And I think that's where we find Joshua today. He understands what is coming. Now, he has faith, and he has belief in God, right? So this is not him questioning God. He just knows his plate is heavy. And so we find him, he's seeking out, and this is the first point in the back of your bulletin, he's seeking out alone time with God. We see there, when Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, right? And behold, a man was standing before him. And so he's there off by himself. I believe he's in prayer because we'll see in later verses he has to lift his head up to see the man. So he has his head bound in prayer. And so what I first wanted to discuss with us today is what it means for you and I to have alone time with God, right? And that's the first point here. We see this modeled throughout Scripture, right? I'll give you some verses here, and then I'll give you the most important verse, the most important modeling of that behavior, which would be Christ. We see in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and is safe. And so we see in times of need, just like Joshua is right here, Joshua feels that need. He feels that desire to be with God. He understands. And the reality is most of us today, maybe you're dealing with it today, maybe you're dealing with it last week, at some point in your life, you have felt like Joshua feels right now. You have felt driven to be with God because of a deep need you have, right? And one of the things that I often like to say, and I feel like I feel good to be quoted in this, is that in situations such as these, you have two options, Avery. You can either run to the strong tower, or you have the option, God gives you the free will, to run the opposite direction away from the strong tower, right? Clearly, God's word encourages you to run to the strong tower, right? That's what we see there in Proverbs. Well, look at this at Psalm chapter 9, verses 9 through 10. The Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. And those who know your name put their trust in you, for you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Right? And so we see this is very biblical and very right. When you are in a time of need, are you in a time of trouble, that you go to that strong tower for that alone time with God. You've also heard me say this quite often. God loves you so much, no matter where you're at today, no matter where you're at, He's willing to meet you right there. He's willing to meet you right there and wants to become your Lord and Savior and wants to enter into a right relationship, for you to enter into that right relationship with Him. He desires that for you right now. However, God also loves you so much, He's unwilling to leave you in that position. Right? Amen. Absolutely. He's going to change you. Right? That's what we call in church sanctification. And so what I would like to encourage you in as your pastor, and it's not wrong in times of need you go to God in prayer. Like, you should fire me if I ever taught you that. That is not what I'm teaching. What I'm teaching you is as you grow in your sanctification, I would like to see you grow. I would like to see me grow to where we go to God at all times. Not just when we're in that valley, not just when we're suffering from that trial, we go to God in prayer and quiet time at all times. Let's take a look at who did this perfectly. Christ. Luke chapter 4, verse 42. There's a consistent theme of Christ getting alone by himself to spend time with his Father in prayer, right? You have to understand this. Christ was becoming, you know, as he was going out and he was doing these miracles and he was healing people, what is the purpose of those miracles? It's to prove his divinity. That's why he was performing these miracles. Is that crowds, in some of your translations, it was like throngs of people were following Christ around to where he had to actively search out time alone, right? Luke chapter 4, verse 42. And when it was day, he departed and went into the desolate place, and the people sought him. Right? And so even in that time, right, he's praying and he's doing these miracles. He understands the importance of spending time alone with his Father. We see it again in Luke chapter 5, verse 15 through 16. But now even more, the report about him went abroad and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. Right? And so if for no other reason, right? If for no other reason, you should understand that alone time with God is important is because Christ did it. And we understand, who was Christ? Christ was in the incarnate God, right? Christ was God in flesh. And if Christ understood the value of seeking time alone with God, so should we, right? And so one of the things that I wanted to give to you today is I want to give you some practical ways in which you can do this, right? Write this down. Intentional. You have to be intentional about this because I'm very confident when I say this, no one in here doesn't feel busy. doesn't feel like they got more stuff to do than they've got time to do it in a day, right? We all are busy, no matter where you're at on this spectrum, you're all feeling busy. And so to actively do this and to do this well, you are going to have to be intentional about it. Number one, make a time every day to do this. Pick it. Whatever it is for you, whatever works, right? Set a time. If some of you probably may get scheduled breaks at work, make that scheduled break time a time for prayer. Make that time alone to be with God. Number two, a very practical way to do this. Do you commute to work? I'm going to guess most of you probably get to work some way besides walking, right? Even if you're walking, that's fine. If you're having that time, use that time. Right, I understand the draw of the radio is very fun. If you're like me, I'm a podcast-holic, man. I love listening to podcasts. But you know what? It's good and right sometimes to turn that thing off and to spend that time alone with God. You know, Molly is my personal DJ. When we get in the car, she's firing the radio up, like she's playing songs. And sometimes we just ride in silence, and that blows her mind. She's like, why are we doing this? Like, what are we doing? I was like, well, number one, it's time for you and I to have a conversation. We can use this time alone to talk. And number two, it's a great time to pray and to meditate on the things of God. Now, let me tell you this, Simon. Don't pray with your eyes closed while you're driving. All right? I do not recommend you do that, right? I remember one time I had shared this with someone, and the guy was like, man, I don't know if I can pray while I'm driving. I was like, why? He goes, I got to close my eyes. I was like, no, you don't, man. You don't have to close your eyes and pray. That's just generally how we do it in church, and maybe you do it at home. But you don't have to pray with your eyes closed. Take that time alone with God. It's a very, very valuable thing that we have in life. And third, and you guys may not like this, you know, my wife is not a big fan of clutter. I seem to be a big fan of clutter, is that post-it notes. Like, put a post-it note. Write a scripture. Type it up. Print it out. Put it on your mirror when you're getting ready in the morning, when you're fixing your beautiful hair. I haven't had that problem in a while. But when you're standing there in front of the mirror, when you're getting ready, put a scripture up there to remind you that time alone with God is important, right? Not just, we want to grow in this, right? We want to go through the sanctification process. We don't want to just go to God when we need Him. We want to go to God always. One of the things we have so wrong about God, we just have it wrong, is we think God is some version of this mythical Santa Claus. That we just like, well, here's my top 10 things. Let's do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Boom, I got this. I'm moving on. That is not the God of Scripture. That is not the way it works. He doesn't want you to come to Him only when you need something. He wants you to come to Him at all times, right? You guys know I'm not a huge fan of T-shirts that have Scripture on them, right? Because the vast majority of the time, they're ripped out of context. They don't make any sense. And one of the worst examples, and I was given this shirt, and I promptly threw it away. I thanked them. I acted like I enjoyed the present, and then I threw it away. Maybe that's lying. I'll answer for that someday. And it said, it had a picture of a Bible open, and it said, when all else fails, open your Bible. And instantly when I read it, I'm like, oh, gosh, that's maybe the worst thing I've ever heard in my life. Maybe. It's horrible. Right? That is not when you go to Scripture. You go to Scripture when? Always. Yes, all the time. Not just when things are bad. Same thing here. Is it right to seek out God when you're in a valley? 100%, absolutely. We see that throughout Scripture. We see it modeled by Joshua today. But it's also very good and right to get alone time with God all the time, every day, right? I want to give you this verse. This is a good verse. If you're looking for a verse to type out and put somewhere that you can see, here's a good one. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 16 through 18. God's word says this. Rejoice always. You okay, Melissa? Rejoice always. Melissa's down. No, she lost her Bible. God's word's down, right? What it says, it doesn't say rejoice when things are good. It doesn't say rejoice when things are bad. What does it say, Cretia? Always. Always. Let that sink in. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Right? That's what we're talking about. Praying in the car. Praying a long time. Find that time. I'm sorry, Steve. I'm butchering this for you back there. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Right? It's something that you need to really think about. It's something that we probably, I feel confident saying this, it's something we all need to grow in. Right? We need to, your prayer life, there should be as many thanks in your prayer life as there are supplications. Right? That should be a really good balance. I would go so far as to say you should have more thanks than you do supplications. Because I'll tell you this right now, you have more blessings than you realize. Something we do on a Wednesday night, I'm plugging Wednesday night hard today. On a Wednesday night, we do that. We make time every Wednesday night for praises, right? Because it's very easy. Did I bring one with me? Maybe you've seen our prayer list before. It's a whole page, and it's good. Here's one. So you have to excuse my notes, right? It's good and right. Here to here, these are all prayers. We're praying for people that are sick. We're praying for people in different situations. We're thinking about them. And so it's easy to get overwhelmed by the world, right? You learned this morning in 1 John when it was telling you is that Satan controls the world, right? You live in this secular world. It's very difficult for us as Christians. We are to live in this world but not be of this world. So it's easy to get overwhelmed by that. That's why it's important for your prayer life to have a lot of thanks in them. Thank you for the ability to get up this morning and draw a breath. There were some people this morning that didn't happen for. They didn't happen for them. Right? Thank you for the opportunity you give us for the freedom in this country to come and gather with like-minded people, to open up God's word, to discuss it freely, to have no fear. Not only do I have Steve back there to cover the door, I have no fear anyone's going to kick in that door and start lopping people's heads off because we're talking about Jesus today. There's places in the world that's a problem, that still exists today where they have to live in fear of that. So there's so many things to be thankful for, right? And so those are some practical things. And then we move on here in Scripture, and I want to talk about the next point we're going to make is talk about humility. But before we get to humility, I want to share with you some verse there. So Steve, if you'll pull 13 through 15 back up for me, I'd appreciate it. We see here Joshua is there, head bowed. He's praying, and then a man was standing before him with his drawn sword in his hand. So this is... In my opinion, right, my opinion, this is probably some of the most interesting scripture in Joshua because there are books written on Joshua 13 through 15, right? I told you, Miss Carolyn, I had to make sure it was okay with her. I broke into the library and got even more books to read even more books about it, right? Because what we have here is Joshua is being confronted by something miraculous here. And so I'll give you the two camps. I'll share which camp I fall in, but I would encourage you, your mileage may vary. You do your own studying, and you let the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you and teach you what you think it is, right? So there's one or two options here. Number one, this is an angel sent by the Lord to come and share with Joshua. What's the battle plan? How are we going to do this? How are we going to handle Jericho? How are we going to handle all these other cities? So there's that one. That's not the camp I fall into. And number two, we have an example of this is a pre-carnate Christ. Right? And so we have examples of those throughout Scripture, right? We have an example of Abraham in Genesis when he has the traveler come and sit down with him and they share a meal, right? Christ, right? Though, if you're taking notes, those are called Christophanies, right? Of where you see Christ, right? If you just witness God, those are called Theophanies. That would be the example of Moses in the burning bush, right? But the definition of what does it mean when God puts himself in human form? The definition of that is Christ, right? And so when we see God manifest himself in human form, that's a pre-carnate Christ being represented. And I believe that's the camp I fall into. That's what I believe is happening here. One of the things you've heard me share before is that there's really, you know, Christ is in every book of the Bible. Sometimes it's harder to see him than others. Sometimes it's really easy to see him, right? And so I think that's what we have for today. Another example is of Christophanies, right? Daniel. Right, remember when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego get thrown into the furnace, and then the king Nebuchadnezzar looks in, he's like, there's four people in there. And he calls for those three to come out. Hair's not singed, they don't smell like smoke, but there was a fourth person in there, pre-carnate Christ. Right? We have the example, and Jacob. Jacob is, in my opinion, one of the most difficult characters of Scripture. Like, what do we do with Jacob? Like, Jacob, his name means deceiver, and he's always doing these shady things. But Jacob himself wrestles with God, right? That's the country word, wrestle. He wrestles with God, right? And what is he doing with that? And at the end of that match, you know, the Christ touches his hip, and his hip comes out of place, and he teaches him some things with that, right? These are all examples of a pre-carnate Christ. That's the camp I fall into. Scripture isn't completely clear. I'll make a case for you here in a minute why I fall into the camp of a Christophany here. But again, you guys pray and let the Lord lead you in that. Is number one is that when the commander speaks to Joshua, what does he do? He falls in reverence, right? He falls face down to the ground and begins to pray. Now, that's not, wouldn't be unusual for angels. We went through a study on angels not too long ago. I say that, it was like 3 years ago. And usually when angels show up, it's the real deal. Like people hitting the ground, people are like, whew, I don't know about this. We got flaming swords, we got all these lights. They're like, I don't know what to do with these. Because guess what? My guess is none of you all have encountered an angel either. I haven't. But in Scripture, when an angel shows up, it's the real deal. But what we see here is the individual allows Joshua to worship them. An angel wouldn't allow that. An angel would not allow someone to worship them because an angel, just like you and I, is a created being. The purpose of the angel is to point us towards the glory of God, just like that's our purpose. And an angel, and this individual, allows that worship to happen, right? We see later on in Scripture, it says, the Lord spoke with Joshua, right? When we have this time right here, he's talking to him. Right, we just have a lot of examples of this looks like God in human form, which would be Christ, right? And so what we see there, right? What we see, I read something the other day. Somebody said I'm sweating like a Southern Baptist preacher. It's like, whoo, that's me. What we see there, right? What we see in the way we see Joshua respond, I think it's something very important for us in 2021, and that's the second point you have there. That's humility, right? Joshua hits the ground face first. Who is Joshua? Joshua is the leader of hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people. Like, he's the man. He's the guy God has appointed to be the leader. He's like the most important people to the Israelites right now. But what does he do when he is confronted by Christ? He hits the ground face down. Right? And then we see later on, he's told to take his sandals off because this is a holy place. That's the third point I should have made earlier. This is why I also believe it's a Christophany, right? Because it becomes a holy place. Angels don't make things holy. Only God makes things holy, right? And so we see that. I was reading a funny article where this guy, and I don't believe this to be a true story, but I think they were using this to make a point, is this guy was claiming to be the smartest man in the world. And he would have these debates. And he would go around and be like, I dare anybody. Give me anything, and I can debate you in it. And he said, I know every word in the Bible. And a heckler in the back, reminds me of JT, says, how about humility? And the guy's like, huh, now they're just making up words, right? The point being, he has no idea what humility means. Zero idea. And so what I would like to encourage you to think about today, do you, just because you're there, JT, and I would encourage you to think about this today. Does humility, is it a characteristic that you display? It's one of the foundational characteristics of Christians, right? One of my heroes of the Bible is Paul. I'm a massive fan of Paul. Talk to me later. I can tell you why you should be a massive fan of Paul too. We see this. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 15 through 19, written by Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, of course. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. Remember, Paul was basically a bounty hunter for Christians, and he would go out and he would find them and he would make sure they were put to death, right? So he has humility. He understands that a loving God has reached out to him. Was he worthy of that, JT? Absolutely not. That's what he's saying here. He was one of the worst. He was one of the last people that should ever be called an apostle because of all the bad things he had done. But yet, with humility, he understands grace. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8, Paul says this as well. To me, though, I am the very least of all the saints. This grace was given to preach the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Right? And so we see him understanding humility. And what I want to do for you right now is I want you to just to have this little bit of time, this last 10 minutes we have together. Think about your humbleness. Think about where you're at on that. The perfect example, again, we see Christ displaying this in the washing of the feet. You find that in John chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. Right? And so let me give you a little context on this. This just happened to us Friday night. Melissa got tickets for us, and we went and looked at all these carved jack-o'-lanterns in Louisville, and so we had to walk through this trail. I am a big fan of Crocs, right? If I don't have my church shoes on, I have Crocs on, right? And so I'm rolling through this forest, and we get finished. My feet are filthy, And I'm like, oh, so gross, right? That was every day for the Israelites, right? As they traveled and ran in their, what I like to call Jesus cleats, as they walked around in their sandals, their feet got filthy. And the job of the lowliest slave in the house, like this was the slave that no one liked, like this was the worst job you could have in the house. When the masters of the house would return, that guy or gal, probably more likely a guy, would have to wash everyone's feet because they were filthy. Why did it matter? Well, because they sat at a lower table, and when you ate, you saw everyone's feet. Like, their feet were almost like right there in your face when you ate together. And so this was a very common custom to having your feet washed, right? And so we see this. Christ obviously knows. He knows the cross is coming soon. He knows it's coming, so he's having the Last Supper, right? He's having this with the apostles, and he's getting together. And, you know, to kind of give you a little bit more of a context, don't forget that just back in Luke, right? You don't have to look this up. You can look it up later. The disciples were fighting over a dispute arose. This is Luke chapter 22, verse 24. A dispute arose among them, them being the disciples, as to which of them would be regarded as the greatest. So they're already fighting. Well, I want to be more important than them, right? It was probably more likely James and Paul were probably the ones doing a lot of the fighting. But anyway, they were arguing. I want to be the greatest. And so they're having this last meal, right? Their feet are filthy like they always would be, walking around these dirt roads. And no disciple, it never crossed any of their minds to wash anyone's feet. Like, they didn't have anyone there to do it, but it's a very customary thing. What does Christ do? Christ binds, I'm going to give you a summary here. Christ puts a towel around his waist, and he bends down and he washes the disciples' feet. And this is one of those examples that we should be very thankful for. If you're not real bright like me, you should be super thankful for, is right after the act, Christ then clearly describes why he did this. And the Cliff Notes version is this. He did this to teach the disciples humbleness, to teach them that you have to have a servant heart. So in order for you to have a servant heart, to go out and to love others and to serve them, you have to first be humble. Right? If you're constantly clawing and fighting to be the favorite son or daughter, if you're constantly clawing to be the favorite person at work, if you're constantly trying to elevate yourself and trying to build yourself up in the light of, in the sight of other people, I encourage you to spend time this week meditating on humbleness, on humility, right? Because what did Christ say? Christ said the ones who want to be first will be what? Will be last. And those that will be last will be first. And so that's something that's very important for us as brothers and sisters in Christ, those who want to glorify God. We have to have a firm grasp on humility. And when you have a firm grasp on humility and you understand how fortunate you are that a holy, righteous, perfect God wants to have a personal relationship with you, it really should have no other effect on you but to humble you. Because when you see the chasm, and I think chasm is the right word, when you see this chasm that exists between God and you, which is full of your sin, you understand, man, I'm not worthy of this. But you should be so thankful that we have the Son, Jesus Christ, who steps in as our adversary, who helps close that chasm because of what he accomplished on Calvary as he went as the perfect spotless lamb to the cross as the atonement, hear this, for all past, present, and future sin of humanity. I pray that someday I get a better understanding of what that means, but I know that's what Scripture tells me. That blows my mind when I think of that. But that's what Christ has accomplished for you. And we should be humble for no other reason but because God wants that relationship with you. And one of the ways you can grow that relationship brings us back to the first point, is you need to schedule every day alone time with God to pray to him, to have a conversation with him, to give up prayers of thanks, and to also pray about things that you need, things that you're concerned with, right? What is the primary function of prayer? It changes your heart to be more into the tune with what God's will is, right? That's why we pray. This is one of the examples I always use. Fill in the relationship. Marriage, father-daughter, father-son, whatever relationship you want to have. If you stop talking to that person, what happens to that relationship? There's not a relationship, right, Avery? It just falls apart. There is no relationship if there's no communication. If you are not spending if you're not spending time alone with God in prayer, how do you have this relationship? And if you don't have that relationship, brother and sister, you need to get something. You need to have that, like we talked about last week. You should feel that urgency because Christ could come in any time. He wants that relationship with you. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for today. Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for difficult scriptures such as this. I'm thankful for the desire that you have given us to dig deeper, to take a look, to let this wash over us, to teach us and guide us. Lord, I'm so thankful for your son, Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for where he appears in the New Testament. I'm thankful for where he appears in the Old Testament. I'm just thankful for my relationship with him. And I just pray that everyone here either has that relationship or today feels that urgency to begin that relationship with your son, Jesus Christ. Lord, as we move on to new discussions in Joshua, Lord, we thank you for the truths that we've learned so far. We're thankful for the need for us to come to you first before any of our plans go into action, come to you in prayer and reverence. We're thankful for the promises that you say to us and that you keep. And most importantly, Lord, we're thankful for your son, Jesus Christ, who you promised throughout Scripture as a Messiah. We're thankful for that, Lord. And Lord, we just pray that everything we do is glorifying to you. In Jesus' name we pray.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon his shoulders, ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid.
Thank you all. I like it when we sing all the verses at the end. I just, like, you don't leave anything hanging. Yeah, right. I like it. So, again, thank you all so much for being here today. I just pray that as you go out into the mission field, that you're, number one, looking for windows of opportunities to share the truth of Jesus Christ with people that you interact with. And number two, I pray that you're finding time, you're making time to get along with God every day, to pray, to think about his commands, and have him lead and guide you, and let him be the Lord of your life, right? The reality is he is the Lord. You just got to get in there and you got to let him be that, right? You just got to let him lead and guide you. Bobby, will you close us in prayer, please? And we will also pray for the food out there that are going to eat so they can go ahead and get started.